everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. In fact, this is kind of a throwback Friday Filibuster because we have a special guest with us. But before we get to him, let's introduce the, as Mad Magazine would say, the usual gang of idiots. Yes, is that a Geek Barometer Rising, Mac?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Excellent. So, Mac McIntyre.
I can do.
Eric Astroschlager.
Hello.
And one of the founding members of DVD Verdict podcast lore, it's Brett Cullum.
Hey, how's it going?
We're here to, you know, waste some time, get you to your weekend. So let's just get right to it. So, Brett, let's kick off with you. We haven't heard from you in about 3 or 4 years or so. So anything interesting happened between now and then? Any entertainment stuff you'd like to report in your life these days?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's summer.
It is. How about your summer movies? What summer movies grabbed you and leave you cold?
You know, I saw the big tentpole ones, of course. And my big thing right now is it's got to be something big to even get me out there.
Yes.
So the last thing I saw was, of course, and anybody can guess this one, is Dark Knight Rises.
And did you see the Avengers and Spider-Man and all that too?
Oh, of course.
You hit all the ones, yeah. Yeah, I think we're kind of in the doldrums of the summer now, so.
What's that back end? It's right before you get us all the award stuff.
Yeah, that's, yeah. So, we got filler like, hey, we got Taken 2 coming out, so.
Ooh.
Yeah, I guess he's really, really, really mad here, so.
Speaking of award season, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Really. Is that when the way he's taking the wife and the daughter?
I think so, yeah.
Oh.
That's right. I think next, Taken 3
is two.
Neighbors and his first grade teacher.
So, oh, no.
Yeah, so, we'll see how much they squeeze out of that. But I'm a big fan of Taken, so. Let's see if there's franchise material. So, in general, how did you, Brett? How did you take the summer movie slate compared to other summers, perhaps?
You know, it seemed like a really good one, but it surprised me that I think that when I look back at it in hindsight, I think that the Avengers probably came out on top. I mean, don't you think that? Or
I think as far as like pure entertainment, I would agree with that.
Yeah,
as like entertainment spectacle, that's the only movie I saw twice in the theaters. You know.
Well, it just seemed to be the most smartly written, and it had the most fun. And that maybe the whole Joss Whedon thing going into it.
It's true.
A little bit more, you know, fanboy. And it was something that you probably thought you'd never see, too.
Right.
I know, growing up or whatever, I never would have imagined all of those people to actually get into one movie and to have everything kind of work as well as it did.
So, would you consider yourself like a fanboy, a comic fanboy?
No.
No.
All right. I left that behind a while ago.
But. See that, Mac? He grew up, man.
Oh, no.
No. That's a shot. That's a cheap shot. So, by the way, did you by any chance catch a little movie called The Battleship?
You know, somehow I missed that one. I'm not really sure. Well, did Michael Bay produce that or did he direct it? What?
No, he had nothing to do with that, right, Mac? I don't think he was.
As far as I know, maybe he was a producer, but I don't think so.
I think so.
I think sequel to Transformers or something?
It tried to be, I would say.
Yeah, wants to be Transformers.
They weren't quite as coherent as Transformers 2, so what does that tell you?
I'm pretty sure Peter Berg can do all that stuff on his own. I don't know if he needs Michael Bay. Right?
That's true. Yeah. So, Mac, did you add Battleships to your home video collection? It's out on Blu-ray, you know.
I have not.
No, you haven't? Okay.
I think once was enough.
Yeah, I think so, too. So you don't want to go back and revisit some of the nuances?
Yeah, see all the subtle touches I missed the first time.
Yeah, that was rough. Well, Brian, anything else you'd like to mention? I kind of forced you into the summer thing. So anything else you want to bring attention to? Any TV stuff coming up? What's cooking?
Well, you know, if it's summer, it's got to be all about bad reality TV. I mean, that's basically what I do. And you guys never talk about that stuff. I don't think anybody else watches it.
Fill the void. Hit us.
I'm going to fill the void.
Yes. Hit us. What do you got?
Well, I always get sucked into this Big Brother thing.
My wife is watching it as we speak, so.
Ah. It's happening. It's a big week. It's a really big week. It's actually been one of the better summers because they usually you get a bunch of people in there and they don't really do anything. And it's kind of like – or they're very predictable. And this year they actually got a group of people that actually kind of shake things up and it's been kind of interesting.
Now, are you a – now, how about Bachelor Pad? That's another one of my wife's favorites. Your Bachelor Pad?
No, I can't say that I'm plugged into that one right now.
Yeah, I don't understand. The rules are pretty complicated in that. They're surprisingly complicated. A bunch of horny guys – girls, you know, and in mansion or something. I don't know how it's like I don't know how it works. Like Ticket to Ride. I don't quite understand what
that is. So, oh, yeah. So I noticed all you guys were talking about Game of Thrones, which, of course, I watched and everything. But nobody watched True Blood?
I'm not a True Blood guy. Mac, Eric, you guys?
I've never seen it. Sorry.
I saw the first season back when, and I really enjoyed it, but I need to get caught up.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We're missing. So basically, you're saying we're missing some key demographics in our podcast. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe. I think that's what I'm bringing this time around.
This is feeling a lot like a performance review.
That's true.
Do you want to talk to us one by one before we.
Really?
All right. So, okay. True Blood, good season. How's that? Now, is it more of a soap opera, or is it straight kind of vampire action? How would you characterize it?
I always call it Twilight for adults, but you know, it's a lot of angst and drama and back and forth and things like that, and that can get kind of old a little bit, but they have the sense of humor and kind of the intense gore and the kind of a little bit more risque,
yeah,
kind of things going on. So it kind of fills a good neat void on Sunday night TV, you know. And it's kind of the soap opera that you can actually admit watching. I imagine it was probably...
It's cool to admit, pretty much.
Yeah, I imagine it's probably very reminiscent of Dark Shadows back in its day. You know, for being kind of the adult soap opera that everybody kind of rallies around water coolers and things like that. Although I'm getting a sense the guy that created it, he created 6 Feet Under, Alan Ball. And he actually stopped being the showrunner this year. So there was a little bit of difference. You could kind of tell. There's a little bit, what's going on here? But
well,
they may be heading for that that shark pretty quickly.
Okay.
Should replace him with Dan Harmon.
That's right, he's looking for work. So yeah, let's get the Dan Harmon vibe going in True Blood. I'm sure that's we need to get what's her face? It's not Snooki. What's her name?
Sookie.
Yeah, let's get her in the Imaginarium, is that what it is, Eric?
Yeah.
The Dreamatorium.
Dreamatorium, thank you.
Boy, we are just finding all.
That's Dreamatorium. What does he mean? That's the Terry Gilliam.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before this goes completely off the rails, let's Mac. Let's kick it over to you.
Well, I was going to talk about comics, but after recent developments, now I don't know.
It's all right.
Oh, sure. No, go ahead.
Oh, I said, what recent developments? Breaking news. No. Breaking news? I wasn't listening. Go ahead.
Anyway, some major shakeups in the world of comics lately. Over at DC, after all these years, Superman has finally dumped Lois Lane and is getting it on with Wonder Woman. They're officially a couple now.
Now, to be fair, in the new 52 reboot, was Superman ever involved with Lois Lane?
That's been ambiguous. I think they had a past, but now they don't. Continuity is really sketchy in the new 52, because some things happened, but other things didn't. But I think that there was a previous relationship, it's just that we don't know about it, because reality was rewritten, etc.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Go on.
But either way, yeah, so he and Wonder Woman are now a couple.
Wow.
We're going to see how that shakes out.
We're going to have some procreation, perhaps?
I don't know.
Can that happen?
Well, so it happened with Lois Lane, Superman Returns, and that kid was like a bundle of energy, so I had the Amazon gene, and now you're looking at, I don't know.
Well, Wonder Woman's not even really an Amazon anymore, is she, Max? She's the descendant of her Zeus's daughter, isn't she?
That's right. They revealed that Zeus is actually your long-lost father.
Wow.
And the whole made up play thing was bogus.
Yeah, that's right, Dave. It's all different.
So is the next series Kratos is going to come after her? Is that what you're implying?
That'd be pretty awesome.
All right. So Mac, what's your feeling on Superman and Wonder Woman?
Is it like
the castle, you know, the castle reveal? Has it been that kind of satisfying or not?
Well, it's hard to say at this point. Right now I'm in the sort of, well, let's see where they're going with this stage.
Yeah.
Because right now they've just had the big kiss, and so now it's, okay, what's going to happen next? But, like, in their individual books, it's like Wonder Woman's kind of, her comic right now is have sort of a horror vibe where she's fighting these dark supernatural monsters, and Superman's own book. He's kind of alone and he's moping all the time all by himself while he's fighting monsters that are like from Krypton and out to get him. And I don't know if their individual worlds will, you know, fit together.
Like, well, if anyone can make it work, those two kids can.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, the whole time we were talking about that, all I can think is the rest of the Justice League singing Summer Nights from Greece.
No.
Which would make it all worthwhile.
So who's the next to pair off? You know? Where's the next chemistry? You know, where's the sexual tension between, I don't know, who would it be? Who's another female DC hero? Help me out here.
I'm trying to think where, I guess, Batman and Catwoman are no longer a couple.
Ah, that's right, Batman. That's right.
Because she's got all kinds of crazy crap going on in her own book. Mm. And he's got like 4 different girlfriends in each of his comics.
All right, well. You gotta use those gadgets for something, I guess.
Are they still doing the Catwoman comic?
I believe so, yeah. I think Judd Winnick is still doing it, even though it was like hugely controversial because they were making her into like a sex object.
Hmm. Well, I never saw that comic.
Wait, a female comic book character is used as sex. I cannot comprehend.
I'm aghast.
Yeah. Okay. Hmm. All right. Anything else, Mac?
On the other side of the fence, over at Marvel, they've done something that kind of has never been done before, and I really don't know what to make of it. They've given Spider-Man his own sidekick.
Oh, really?
Yes.
New character or?
A brand new character, yeah. A kid named Alpha.
For a second there, Eric was hoping it would just be Alf, right?
I was hoping it'd be the Tick, but okay, that works.
Alpha, okay.
Yes, Alpha has he has these like energy powers. He's could be so powerful that he could potentially destroy the world. So the Avengers have given him to Spidey, and Spidey's going to teach him all about responsibility, because that's Spidey's whole thing. Spidey's going to be the kid's mentor.
Great.
So let's see how that.
By Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
Kind of got that vibe a little bit.
Quick digression, speaking of Alf, another random Arrested Development moment. I was watching the episode where, remember they cast, maybe is trying to cast a new monster for her monster movie, and Jeff says, Jeff Garland's character says, "That's the monster? Looks like Alf." Right? And everyone laughs, and then from the movie, some dialogue comes up, "Oh, he ate my kitten!" that's a pretty poor retelling, but fantastic. Sorry to interrupt, Mac. Anything else?
That's fine. That'll do for now.
All right. Eric?
Yes, a few odds and ends. I'll keep it brief, which will work out well. We finally watched the last season of Chuck. Since we don't have TV, we couldn't watch it when it was on. Finally tracked down the DVDs through our local library.
Excellent.
And I think...
You know, your library is like the Hellmouth. You know,
it's pretty amazing.
All,
yeah.
Crazy things come.
Oh yeah, I've got I got the Man with No Name trilogy on Blu-ray. I'm about halfway through. Got that from the library.
On Blu-ray.
Blu-rays from the library, Dave.
So it's like in your town is library budget the biggest ever? Does it dwarf the budget?
Well, Dave, there's a little something called interlibrary loans.
Okay.
You gotta play the system.
Got it. So we're gonna approve the $1 million library budget.
Yes. I'm writing a self-help book. It's all about how to get the most out of your library.
You can be like that guy with the question marks.
Absolutely. Anyway.
The most out of your library. You can get a Blu-ray from your library. I got the wire from my library. You can get the wire from your library.
No,
go ahead.
No, it's fine. Chuck wasn't on Blu-ray, so it's not perfect. But anyway, it had been a long time. Chuck was a show that I was sort of okay with the first season. Really got into when like the second season and so on, and it kind of built up an interesting mythology. It was a show we looked forward to. I think it's been so long since I watched it, and I've watched so many other different kinds of shows since then that I couldn't quite get into it this time, because it's a very kind of lighthearted, you know, spy action thing, and they're constantly putting the characters in danger, although they're never actually in danger. It's the weird thing about the show, and I'd forgotten they do it, is like they'll have like an episode cliffhanger that feels like they've just introduced, they're like shaken things up so much that this is going to be the arc for the rest of the season, and then they wrap it up next episode, and they do it like over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So it's it's still fine. I think there's a lot of good fan service for people who stuck with the show and, you know, took part in all of the campaigns to bring it back year after year. So I'm glad everyone got that closure. But yeah, it was fine. I'm glad I got a chance to see it. But I think in a world where I now watch Breaking Bad, it's very difficult to go back to Chuck's. Speaking of Breaking Bad, that just wrapped up. And I won't say too much about it because saying anything about it would be too spoiler for people who haven't seen it. But another great finale. The last two episodes, I'd say almost the second to last episode, had some bigger crazy stuff in it than the finale. But I enjoyed it. This is just the, it's, I guess, kind of the sort of the mid season finale, even though it's the end of the last half season or something. So they've definitely changed things up. So I'm not quite sure where they're going to go in the final eight, but we'll find out. I guess the only – if I were to have a criticism of the season, it would just be that it seemed like because they only had eight episodes in this shortened season, they really crammed a lot into it. So it definitely, I think, doesn't take quite as much time to let everything play out as it does in past seasons. But I can't really complain too much because it's still a great show. So
what was your did you get to the end point of Fringe yet? How's your
Fringe? Yeah, I am. I'm at the beginning of the third season.
Okay. Right?
I've gotten through season two.
Good stuff in season two, huh? I love the Peter stuff. I thought the backstory was pretty cool.
Yep. So. That was then again. I won't say too much for people who haven't seen it, but I mean, where they went with his character, I pretty much figured out like midway through season one. They didn't seem to really keep that too much of a secret. They definitely hinted at it very strongly, almost from the beginning.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the way that they let it play out, and now kind of what's happening. In the world of the show it's pretty interesting the way that they're doing both of those things at once. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think I'm on like four or five episodes into season three, but I like it. Yeah, I like
very
it.
Good. So. Let's see, my end, not much going on. Okay, I will say this. Let me I'll do a little revision. So obviously The Raid really disappointed me on Blu-ray, but I watched it again with my brother. It's because it's kind of movie that's just great to watch if people have never seen it. And I will say, I think my stance has softened on The Raid Blu-ray. I mean, it's still pretty disappointing as far as what it should have been, you know, because it's such a cool movie. But I think I've maybe warmed up to it. Maybe it's just because the movie itself is so great. You just can't bring yourself to hate something you love, you know, but I would say, my venom has softened towards The Raid, so I would suggest picking it up. And I think the technical issues I had with it, you would get used to them. They don't become that distracting once you really kind of involve yourself. So that's just my little, that's my my little rejoinder, I suppose, to my venomous review. So that's it.
So the awesomeness of the movie kind of outweighs
it. It does. The awesomeness of the movie outweighs it, yes. And the technical treatment isn't so terrible that it over, you obviously could still enjoy some of the great stuff. So, please track it down and please watch it because it's fantastic.
So you can still tell that there are people in the movie.
It's still tell, yes.
That blob of pixels is obviously a human being.
That's right.
Or a robot or android, but I mean someone who's punching some other blob that's probably human too. That kind of thing.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. So so it's like an early N64 game. So, okay, let's move on to stuff we have for the site coming up. Brett, what do you got?
Well, my big one, and I think that Eric and I probably shared
some
assignments in a weird way. Yeah. Did you get the Shout Factory? Halloween, you got Halloween 2, didn't you?
I got Halloween 2.
All right, I did Halloween 3.
Oh, Season of the Witch.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. I never saw Halloween 2. Oh.
Really?
Yeah, I don't recall. Yeah, I don't think I saw Halloween.
Well, I'll talk about it in a minute.
Excellent.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't wait.
Well, the big thing about 2 was that they made it under great duress. They never planned to have a sequel at all. And when they came to 3... John Carpenter had basically said, hey, you know, the story's over with Michael Myers and Laurie Strode and that whole thing. Why don't we do kind of a new concept where we come in every year and we do something where it's just kind of tied loosely with Halloween and kind of have an ongoing franchise where it's just almost like a Masters of Horror, if you will, different Halloween story every year and themed. And it's the only one that doesn't have Michael Myers in it. It's the one that, you know, it's more of a pod person movie. It's more sci-fi. They throw in this whole kind of thing about witchcraft and the computer age and everything like that. It's an interesting misfire. But it's always gotten really, really short shrift in the DVD world. You basically got a bare bones release from Good Times DVD. And some of the sound cues were off. The transfer was really kind of not quite there. It was really faded out. So this year, Shout Factory, for some reason, has picked up a bunch of titles that are they're going to put to Blu-ray. And, you know, Halloween 2 and Halloween 3 are among them. And Halloween 3 was actually shot by Dean Kundi, who did the Jurassic Park and the original Halloween and all of that kind of stuff. So the Blu-ray treatment is incredible. I mean, it looks like a completely different movie.
So those crazy insects that part of people's faces, that's, that really leaps to life. Is that what you're telling me?
It's, yeah, you can reach out and touch them. And then they've added extras. They actually went in and they do like a 30-minute, featurette on the movie, and they have two different audio commentaries. And the commentaries are actually moderated by people that run horror sites. I mean, it's really, really extensive. And it's kind of cool because, you know, as a reviewer, one of the things that I hate is that I've been with the site so long that I get a copy of a Blu-ray and it's the same thing that I got on DVD all those years ago. And you just think, you know, well, gee, why am I going to shell out this extra, you know, money to get an upgrade, you know, without any new extras or anything like that? And in this case, they really kind of go that extra mile. I was, like, actually really excited about it. I was like, wow. And I noticed that Shout kind of changed their logo. They're calling themselves Scream Factory and all of that kind of stuff. Really playing it up. They come out with some new artwork. You can, the packaging's kind of slick. You can flip it inside out and do the traditional movie poster or this new artwork that they've developed. And it's kind of cool.
Nice. And with that, good news, you just broke the world record for most time spent talking about Halloween 3.
Probably.
Congratulations.
There's a whole 30-minute documentary on the disc, though.
Oh,
that talks
boy.
About it. So they, I think they got me beat.
Nice. Let's segue into Halloween 2.
Yeah, so the Halloween 2, I think not quite as groundbreaking a release as Halloween 3 because there had been I actually got we got the DVD version of the collector's edition. There's also a Blu-ray version. Both of them come with this, a second disc that's a DVD that is the TV edit of the movie, which I guess like the original Halloween is notable because they had to cut out so many of the kills in order to beef up the runtime so that it would fill, you know, a 2-hour, you know, time on TV. They actually added like 8 or 10 minutes of new footage. A lot of it is character stuff, but it's pretty interesting. I mean, there are some significant differences to the TV edit of Halloween 2. Dave, since you don't know anything about Halloween 2, I'll fill you in. So it picks up right where the first one leaves off. Basically Laurie gets taken to the hospital. Michael, when he disappears from the lawn, you know, picks himself up, brushes himself off, and starts killing people again, tracks her down to the hospital, and then kind of just proceeds to waste everybody. And like Brett said, it was meant to be, it was written as the end to the Halloween, Michael Myers story initially. In fact, the movie ends, spoiler alert, with Michael Myers and Loomis being killed in a big explosion. And it's not that big of a spoiler because in Halloween 4, they both come back miraculously. They both survived. Even Loomis, who is not the immortal boogeyman that Michael Myers is, but he pulled through. It is a pretty unnecessary sequel. I think compared to the later sequels of Halloween, you know, the later Michael Myers stuff, it's fine. But compared to the first one, it doesn't have any of the really kind of the tension. It kind of makes a lot of the same, not mistakes, but it does a lot of the things that just later slasher sequels and other series would do, where it's a little too many kills and too few tension, too little tension. But you know, if you like the movie, there's a lot of good stuff here. I guess like Halloween 3, there are two commentaries with this one. I don't know how many commentaries there are with 3. One of them is with the director and an actor. That one's okay. There's another one that's with a guy from a horror site, and I don't know if it's the same guy as the Halloween 3 commentary. And he talks with Dick Warlock, who was a stuntman, and he played Michael in the movie. And yeah, he has a lot of really cool stories. So that's a lot of fun. And like I said, there's the theatrical cut, I mean the TV cut. There's a 45-minute documentary about the movie. There's a bunch of other stuff too. So it's definitely worth checking out. I mean, Chat Factory usually does a good job with their stuff, and I'm glad they're doing this the Scream Factory line. They'll have a Blu-ray release of They Live before too long.
Excellent.
That I know it's looks pretty cool. And I'm not sure if they did the Reanimator Blu-ray that's coming out, but yeah, they're good. So it's worth checking out.
Nice. Mac?
Yeah. It's kind of a strange twist of gears here going from Halloween to this movie, but it's the new release from Aardman Studios, the animated film, The Pirates, Band of Misfits. This is another stop-motion animation film. This is a big year for stop-motion. We've got three movies coming out. This is the first. This movie is really funny, and I really enjoyed it a lot. It's like a really confidently made movie, and that they hit just the right tone that they want, and they keep that tone consistent throughout the whole movie. So, you know, it's just a joke a minute, and it's just really just throwing all kinds of crazy stuff at the audience, but it never gets like too crazy or too over the top. So, it's just really great comedy. It's really funny.
Nice.
And of all people, Hugh Grant plays the pirate captain, but you'd never know it was him if you didn't guess. He really brings it as, you know, who would have thought that Hugh Grant would be a swashbuckling pirate, but there you go.
I could see him being a swashbuckler. Yeah, I could see him being like swashbuckling. He's just got that. He's like, I could see him being a swashbuckler.
Yeah.
I don't know, he's got the roguish, right? He's roguish, wouldn't you say?
I guess that's true. But he's a lot of the characters he played tend to be really soft-spoken.
Ah, good point.
And this pirate captain, he's just really enthusiastic and larger than life.
Let's see. Me, just a shout out that posted, it's already been on the site, but it's Spartacus Vengeance. So I've been kind of doing the Spartacus series here, and this is the second season, but it's following the 6-episode, kind of prequel that they had to kind of put together due to the unfortunate illness and the tragic death of star Andy Whitfield. But it's a good, again, it's, the show's over the top. I mean, the excess is ridiculous, but underneath that all is like a pretty entertaining show. It's an entertaining show, and there's like a lot of cool action, but you know, everything else is just so over the top. One guy gets his face hacked off. I've never seen that really before. It seems pretty hard to do, but like the whole front of his face is hacked off. And
is that in a single swipe or
single
is
swipe?
Multiple? Oh,
no,
really?
Single swipe. Spartacus, whoosh, and then like cleaves his face off. So that's definitely you get your money's worth, I guess. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't looking forward to the third, you know, the final season. So it's pure id, but it's pretty. It's pretty entertaining. So.
Is that the kind of show with witty rejoinders? Like when he slices someone's face off, does he say something clever?
No, it's not that kind of show, but it is a show where they have they do not include definite or indefinite articles in their dialogue.
Yeah, I was going to ask what you meant by that.
They don't use the word the or a or I mean or, it's just that's
like give me an example.
Oh man, let's see. Sword creases head. You know, so that's what they'll say. You know, like, oh, hey, is he dead? Yes. Sword pierced bosom. I mean, they don't use any of that. Yeah. And that's a positive, but it's rife with that, and yeah, it's pretty crazy. So
well, I guess
they spent all the budget on what's that?
I say, I think the scripts were just a little bit too long. Just to get the run time down, they just cut out all those words.
I think they blew all their budget on gore effects and, you know, fake, you know, synthetic parts of the male anatomy, and just couldn't fund the indefinite article budget anymore. So a little distracting. There's a lot of it's that show that like manages to still tell a good story and be entertaining despite its own like self-inflicted distractions. So, but. I'd be a liar if I said I wasn't looking forward to it. So let's move on, Mac, to stuff coming out.
Okay. We are going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. And you listening at home can play along. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the DVD releases tab. Then we're going to scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for September 11th. Just going to talk about whatever we see on the list here.
I see Airplane on Blu-ray.
I'm surprised that that's just now coming out on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you'd think that had already been out there. I see a Mac McIntyre product down in the seas, Castle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Looking forward to that. That was a great season.
Did anybody see the Devil Inside? That looks like that's coming out. It looked like it was good in previews, but then it kind of blew over real quickly.
Yeah, I don't know much about it.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing it wasn't that good. I don't remember why. Probably for obvious reasons. Now, The Big Bang Theory is a show that I have come to not like so much.
Oh, really? So you've turned
Yeah, we still like it. Yeah. I just, for whatever reason, I mean, it's the same, maybe, for some reason, the internet has basically pitted Big Bang Theory and Community against each other because they were on the same time. And it's not for that reason, but it's just, it's kind of a, it seems lazier and lazier the longer they go on. And I kind of like the first season, but if you like it, it's out this week.
So we got Snow White and the Huntsman, which kind of came and went pretty quick. Over
Man,
the
you, can't, you really can't say that title fast, can
I heard that they're going to do a sequel to it, though. I heard it did well enough.
Really?
And I heard that they're doing it without Snow White.
That's right. Ashley Green lost her job, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ashley, Kristen Stewart, me?
Yeah, who did I say?
You said Ashley Green.
Oh, sorry. Who's that?
I'm not sure, but I somehow agreed with you.
Is that somebody?
Was she also in Twilight? I don't know.
Somebody looked her up. See, that's somebody. Now, another special Blu-ray that people have been asking, you know, why so long, and a movie I reviewed almost 10 years ago. Almost 9 years ago, actually. Dracula versus Frankenstein.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah, that's all.
Now, which one is this? There's been a couple of those over the years.
I think it's, I don't know. Really? I reviewed something called Dracula versus Frankenstein.
Well, I noticed Titanic is coming to Blu-ray, but they're doing the special 3D version, too, and then like an ultimate pack. Is that the first time Titanic's hitting Blu-ray?
I think so, right?
I think so, yeah. This is like, you know, James Cameron taking his sweet time.
That's right.
Wow.
You could have taken a little bit longer, as far as I was concerned.
See, now this movie was on a request list this week. Crossing my fingers, I get it. Unless maybe you guys requested it, so this could be an awkward conversation. But Zaborgar?
That's all yours, Dave.
All right, just check.
I don't want to speak for Brett, but
that was my number one choice.
Oh, man.
Yes, it's a motorcycle that transforms into a giant kung fu fighting robot, correct?
How about Nympho Diver?
Oh, man.
I was thinking that was inadvertently sleaziest sounding title. But
no, that's inadvertent. That's Nympho Diver. I don't know. I know a couple divers, and they don't strike me as nymphomaniacs. Killer Clouds from Outer
Space. Oh, never mind. I was going to make a joke about getting the bends, but never mind. Go on.
Nice.
Yeah, Killer
I'm wondering
Clowns
if Killer Clowns does anything different than what the DVD did. The DVD was super loaded with stuff.
Right.
So I can't imagine that the Blu-ray wouldn't be, but I just wonder if they did anything new for it.
There's Spartacus Vengeance. I do have to say, these guys know how to put out a Blu-ray. It is a great Blu-ray, great packaging, great AV. That's a winner. So,
a really cool horror movie that I don't think a lot of people know about is The Loved Ones.
I just saw that. What is that?
Yeah, it was made years ago, and it's been waiting around to be released for the longest time. I don't know what the holdup was, but it's just sort of quirky, trippy, suspense kind of movie. More dark comedy than raw horror, but it's the psycho girl and her psycho dad kidnap the high school boy so that he can be her date to the prom. And it's better than I just made it sound. It's very sort of quirky and different and weird. But definitely worth seeing if you like horror movies that are a little on the, you know, bizarre side.
I'm in. I just endorsed Halloween 3.
One of the things I like about Halloween 3, not to go off on a side tangent, except I will, is that it is that standalone. It reminds me of like a horror anthology series, which I love.
Which
is great, which is probably one of the reasons why I think it's awesome. It's like, same with like Trick or Treat, obviously, is a horror anthology movie. Great movie. Which is rare because most horror anthologies, even though I love them, generally speaking, are not that good. So.
Man, that Titanic Collector's Edition is humongous.
It's like a boat.
Holy crap. Who's up to 6 hours of special features with never before seen footage of Titanic?
I hear it's too big to ship.
Yeah. I want to know who got that from the site. Did anybody?
Was that available?
I don't think the mega set was available.
And speaking of mega sets, there's also the Harry Potter 31-disc Blu-ray with all the movies.
Ouch on that.
All right. Well, from my eyes, it seems like there's a lot of potential here for inadvertently sleazy sounding DVD release of the week. So, Brett, we'll let you have first crack at it.
Well, you know what? I see an obvious double feature here.
Do it.
There is Beyond the Black Rainbow.
That's good.
And then you have to go to The Dark Side of Love.
That's not bad. Beyond the Black Rainbow, though. That's definitely a euphemism for some kind of depraved sex act. So, all right, Mac?
Let's see. I've got two here. All right, I'll go with Jammin' with Cherry Jam.
Ooh. Oh, man. That's actually terrible because of the Strawberry Shortcake. Really bad. All right.
All right, mine is in a similar vein to Max in that it shouldn't be sleazy, but I'm going to make it that way. I'm going to go with How It's Made, the fun stuff.
Jeez. Oh, man. I thought mine was low-hanging fruit, but you guys have bested it. I just had From the Bush to the Valley.
That's pretty good. Oh. That works. Good for you.
Man, there's some. All right, this might be the greatest ever. I think everybody's just letting go. There's something.
I was kind of eyeing The Cave of the Yellow Dog.
That's not bad. That's pretty good.
My backup was going to be The Firm.
That's
good. Oh, no. Classic. Clean.
Yep.
And like Sean Bean and Clean Skin.
Clean Skin is another one. Yeah. You know, if they make three sequels, they could call it Foreskin, I guess. Okay, wow, we're really going off the rails here. So let's move on to our ambush topics. Random topics thrown at each other. Mac, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, first topic. Let's see what kind of interesting paths this one takes us down. Fingernails.
Fingernails.
Every time you say fingernails, I think of that picture of that woman, the girl's fingernails in the Guinness Book of World Records. You remember those? Like the curly fingernails? They had to have her be a picture in the Guinness Book of World Records.
I remember the guy. I don't remember the woman. She must have overtaken him later on.
Well, maybe it was the guy. I don't know.
He had long hair, I think. He was old, okay. I believe. He had to be old, I guess, to have fingernails that long. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah.
So fingernails. Huh?
Okay, I got it. He's going to go with Nuclear Man, Superman 4.
Oh, of course.
Radioactive Lee press-on nails. Yeah, that'd be Mark Pillow playing Nuclear Man. He scratches, pretty much gets into like a midair catfight with Superman, scratches his neck. Superman contracts some kind of radiation poisoning. Not sure how he bounces back, actually, to be honest. I don't know. Does he suck down some more Krypton? I don't know what he does. So no, he uses his last Krypton rod in Superman 2, so... And maybe just popped the Advil or something.
So. See, now I have an excuse to watch it again.
Yes, you never. Yeah, there's never a reason not to watch Superman 4.
All right, I'm gonna go with Quint's entrance in Jaws when he scratches his fingernails across the board.
Oh, good.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's timely too, right? Jaws just had a big release. Very nice. Okay. I note that we managed to avoid talking about Jaws, but until like right at the end of the show. But you know, squeezed in Dracula versus Frankenstein and Halloween 3. So we got our priorities straight. And Big Brother, Bachelor Pad as well. So. All right.
Okay, is it mine?
You, Brett. Yeah, you got some fingernails.
You know, I was thinking of the immortal classic, the Verhoeven production, Showgirls.
Ah.
Elizabeth Berkley's character, Nomi, runs around talking about her nails constantly. And Crystal Connors, her nemesis, always, you know, is baiting her with, you might be able to do my nails. You know, it's like, oh, what is that?
So,
and what was really funny is that a lot of people that liked nails, that were really into that, complained because in the ad for the movie, they were longer and better looking than they were in the actual movie, in the poster.
You just completely lied. Is there a subculture? Just a nail subculture that I'm not aware of?
When it comes to Showgirls, yes.
Okay, is there a Showgirls? Is there a Showgirls subculture that I'm not aware of?
You didn't know about? Yeah.
Oh, doesn't it have like a huge cult following?
It's a huge.
I know it was a cult favorite. I didn't realize how active.
I mean, I used to go to midnight screenings where they would actually, you know, come dressed up and Rocky Horror the whole thing up.
Fantastic.
Dave, are you ready to go through the looking glass?
That sounds like it. That sounds like it's definitely popping a red pill. So, all right, Mac, go ahead.
All right, so, well, first of all, I can't believe none of you said the lady from Total Recall who changes your nails with the little sci-fi thingy. But moving on from that, my pick was, there's this movie from 91 called Brain Twisters, which is supposed to be this deep psychological thriller about a college professor who uses a mind control device to turn his students into psycho killers. And one of these psycho killers is this young girl who kills people just by jabbing them in their throats with her fingernails. And she doesn't have special, like, razor-sharp nails or anything, just her ordinary, like, leap press on nails, just, you know, ripping guys' throats open. So.
And a special shout-out to What's-Her-Face from X-Men 2, Mac. What's her name?
Oh, Lady Deathstrike.
Yes, Lady Deathstrike, yeah. Okay.
I can't believe we didn't bring up Nightmare on Elm Street.
Does that really count, though, because it was the glove?
Would Edward Scissorhands then count?
Oh, we're really getting even more.
Yeah. Man, this is getting philosophical.
Sorry, Wolverine. So anyone with long appendages sprouting from their arms, I think counts.
Okay. I guess if the topic were hand knives, maybe.
That was going to be my topic for next week.
Hand knives.
Oh, you stole mine. That was going to be mine. I'll
pick something else. Okay.
Wasn't there a big one with John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China?
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
Lopan have
oh,
one?
Oh, yeah, yes. One. Yes.
Yes.
I think we're done with the Friday filibuster.
I think we are. Probably should be after my lame topic that's coming up right now. All right, in honor of football season and fantasy football season, which I am now a complete nerd when it comes to that stuff. But let us draft our own fantasy football team, but a football team stocked with characters from fantasy movies. So I'm going to each give you guys a position on the team, and you need to draft someone from a fantasy film to play that position, okay? Right. So, Mac, I'm gonna let you start us off with a quarterback. So the leader of this team, the quarterback.
A leader.
Cool under pressure. Clutch when it counts.
Okay. I guess the obvious choice would be Aragorn from Lord of the Rings.
Very good.
He is the chosen one, so you can't take him down.
That's right.
He has his destiny and all that.
What did you see in his performances that makes you think he'd be nimble in the pocket, for example?
He's pretty quick on the battlefield. He's the leader. He shouts a lot, like quarterbacks do. I'm trying to think if there's any scene where he throws something so we can get a look at his throwing arm.
That's a good point, yeah.
He throws Gimli.
He does throw Gimli.
He tosses Gimli.
Yeah,
so if he can do that, he can throw a football, yeah.
Yes, that's good. Okay, Brett, choose the wide receiver, so the athletic wide receiver who runs, you know, evades contact and is quick and agile, perhaps.
I'm going to have to go with Mad Mardigan.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Val Kilmer from Willow.
Yes. Excellent. Yes, he is. He's got great leaping ability because he jumps from the bridge to the dragon, you know, pretty nicely. And from the dragon down, like, five stories to the ground. Yeah. All right, Eric. How about the running back? So kind of the tank who plows through the opponents.
All right. Does it have to be like a humanoid character?
Anyone? Nope. Anyone you want?
All right. I'm gonna go with a land strider from Dark Crystal.
So line them up in the backfield and just turn them loose.
Yeah, they're really tall. You just gotta like put the football on their head and they just jump up high enough.
Okay, and Eric, I'll let you choose the position for me to draft.
All right, let's see, football. That's the one with the kind of the oblong.
Yes, the oblong ball, yes. One. That's it. That is correct.
Okay, how about the front tackler?
Okay.
I don't know, the tackle guy.
The linebacker. How about
the linebacker? That's it.
I'll go with the someone who's going to intimidate the opponent, you know.
Sure, right.
Yeah, really stand them up when it's a short yard situation. How about the rock eater from Neverending Story?
Not a lot of speed, but strength.
Not a lot of speed, but just planted him there on the 30-yard line. I don't think I was going to pass him. if he gets the ball, there's a good chance he'll fumble because we've seen he's not good with his hands. The snail rider will get sucked out of his hands. You know? So, all right. Way to solve a terrible topic. So let's move on to Eric. Go ahead.
Let's go with clocks.
Okay. Now, is Mac going to say the clock? No.
God, man. I wish I would have thought of that.
Okay, one of my favorite. That's a good one. There's a lot of clocks, but I'll go with. Got to go with the city hall clock in Back to the Future, right?
Yep.
Oh, sure.
Very omnipresent. I have nothing else to add. Just an iconic clock.
Let's see. There's a great bit in The Great Mouse Detective at the end where they're running through the inside of the clock and all the spinning gears and stuff. The mice are trying to escape and jump from one spinning gear to the next. Really, most elaborate clock ever made because it's a huge death trap inside. Great action scene for a cartoon.
All right, Brett, clock.
I think I'm going to have to go with Oscar nominee from last year, Hugo. It had a lot of clocks in it. They hid behind the clocks, kind of took care of the clocks. Seems like the whole movie was kind of revolving around all of these clocks.
Sure was, which is why it inspired my topic. All right, let's see that.
Oh, no.
That's okay. That's okay. It's you threw me off. That's okay. I can do this. Go on, talk. You can talk about Hugo.
Oh. Is there you need to come up with a backup?
Yeah, maybe. Hugo was another movie I got out of the library recently, also on Blu-ray, and it was a lot of fun. Liked it a lot.
I liked it, but what did you think about watching it at home? I saw it in the theater with 3D.
As with a lot of movies, it probably would have been a little more impressive in the theater, but I thought it translated, you know, pretty well to home. I mean, you didn't get the sense of scale, but, the underlying kind of stuff, especially that happens toward the end, the less sort of adventure-y aspects with Georges Méliès and all that stuff is pretty cool. It's been a long time since I've seen this movie. In Run, Lola, Run, is she racing against the clock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. That's a good one.
All right. Run, Lola, Run.
Very good. I think of Back to the Future,
the
too.
I had Back to the Future and Hugo, and I thought, well, there's only three of us, so I'm sure we'll make it through unscathed. But no, Brett had to be awesome.
Well, speaking of awesome, Brett, finish off this Friday filibuster with your topic.
All right, I thought I would do a quick one. This will be easy. And I was thinking, in the spirit of Halloween 3, sequels that make absolutely no sense with the rest of the series. Things where they tried to completely derail the entire franchise with some either new character or new bent to it and everything.
Okay, I got it. I know what you're saying. I'm going to go, and we mentioned it already, but Superman 4.
I mean, yeah, oh, absolutely.
I mean, Superman 3 was pretty, you know, it was in the toilet too, and then you got Richard Pryor skiing off a skyscraper, you know. That'd probably sign that your franchise isn't long for this world. But, you know, I mean, the story about Superman 4 is pretty well known, right? It's Christopher Reeve, but really, am I right in saying he'd only sign on if he was able to kind of pursue his anti-nuclear issues, so that's why right. Superman, you know, getting involved with commandeering missiles from autonomous nations, throwing them into the sun, and we love to hate it, of course, but and obviously the franchise was on life support, but that really that pretty much destroyed it until Superman Returns showed up and didn't do much at all to move the needle anymore. But yeah, pretty terrible.
Let's see, how about Highlander 2?
Oh, good one. Yeah.
Well, in the theatrical version, we learn that the immortal Highlanders are originally from outer space.
Yes.
The planet Zeist, was it?
Yep.
Geist?
Yeah. Geist. It starts with a G, right?
Does that? Oh, okay. Geist. Oh, and so we had that for a while. And even the Highlander cartoon took place on the planet Geist. It was just awful. But then they came out with the Renegade version of Highlander 2, which is supposed to be the corrected version, where all of the stuff from the planet Geist actually took place, in the distant past before humanity could remember. And Michael Ironside and those two bird guys, they time traveled to go fight McCloud. That didn't really help it, though. It was just as nonsensical as if they'd been from outer space.
All right. Well, it might be a little bit of a cheat because it is a sequel in name only, but I'll go with Troll 2.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one. That's a great one.
It doesn't derail the series because there wasn't a series, but, man, that's, that movie has nothing to do with the first one.
And there's also no trolls. Called Troll 2 that had no trolls.
A lot of vegetarian goblins.
A lot of vegetarian goblins. Yes.
You know, I was thinking of Staying Alive. Did anybody remember that one? The sequel to Saturday Night Fever?
I never saw it, but I do recall it. It
was crazy. His character, who in the first film is like this disco dancing guy that just goes out every weekend or whatever, becomes like a professional ballet dancer.
Okay. Oh. Right.
And opens up in this musical about hell. You know, I mean, it's just like Dante's Inferno, I think was what it was called.
What?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the most amazingly weird. It's like, what were you thinking? And I think that was, you were talking about Christopher Reeve taking over for Superman 4. I think it was Stallone's brother, maybe?
Frank Stallone?
Yep.
Nice.
Wasn't he somehow involved in this whole thing?
I've got no intel.
He did the music, apparently.
Yeah, he's a musician. He's done music for lots of movies, so could be.
How about Baywatch Nights? David Hasselhoff and company take off from saving people's lives to solving crimes at night.
Yeah, only the first season. Then the second season, they turned it into the X-Files. So they had a monster of the week.
Ouch.
Did they really?
Yes.
That's rough. Oh, man, that's pretty rough.
Brett, I'll give you one more on Staying Alive. The film was directed by Sylvester Stallone.
Excellent.
That's what it was.
Well, Frank Stallone did the music, and Sylvester Stallone directed it.
That's what it was. That's why it was so weird.
Yeah.
Why would Sylvester Stallone come up to John Travolta and be like, hey, I think I've got this idea for this ballet movie. I want you in it.
He probably said exactly that, but he couldn't understand what he was saying. So
oh man! All right, that's a ripe topic, Brett. Thank you very much. I also remember like the Amityville sequel that I reviewed that was about a possessed mirror.
You got that one? I got the Dollhouse one.
Yeah, I can't remember what this one was called. Yeah, so they started inside the house. They were just taking things from the house that were possessed. So yeah, your dollhouse, you know, washing machine probably at one point.
Actually, there was one that was a clock, right?
The clock, yeah.
It's all about time.
Yeah, that's it. That's what it was. Oh. There wasn't
it was Amityville. It's all about time.
Wow. Yeah, was it like the Amityville clock? Yard sale? Is that what that one was?
The yard sale. That was the next one. So, all right. Well, very good. So I think that brings our jumbo episode to a close. So, Brett, thank you for joining us. And everyone, have a great weekend. Friday Filibuster, DVDverdict.com is the email address. And, Mac, take us away.
8 more days till Halloween. 8 more days till Halloween. Silver Shamrock.